Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Updater Services Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Raghunandan Tangirala. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome. Today on this call, joining me is Jigyasa Sharma, our Executive Director, Amitabh Jaipuria, our Non-Executive Director, Nehashish, CEO BSS, Surinder, CFO for Danaher, and our SGA team, who are our investor relationship team. I trust you've received the investor deck, and if not, it's also available on our website and the stock exchange portals. Now, I'd like to share an update on the IFM segment. During the quarter, we added about 14 clients in the IFM segment and 11 new clients in the BSS segment. In H1 of FY26, our integrated facilities management, the IFM business, recorded a 10% year-on-year revenue growth to 9,608 million. EBITDA stood at about 476 million. Margins and growth during the period were impacted by a few transitory factors. The quarter saw the addition of several new contracts that are highly strategic in nature. Considering our long-term position with key clients and expanding our presence across focus sectors, these contracts have resulted in upfronting the employee operational costs, as many are still on the ramp-up phase and have not yet reached their full revenue potential. We expect profitability and growth momentum to normalize as these contracts stabilize and reach full revenue potential. We continue to shift towards a more private sector-driven client mix and will take government contracts very selectively. This is a conscious and strategic move as private sector contracts generally offer better margins. Our focus remains on pursuing high-quality opportunities that enhance profitability and strengthen our overall resilience of our revenue base. Our focus going forward will be driving profitable growth by improving client-level profitability, optimizing manpower deployment through our technology-led interventions, and enhancing cash flow discipline. We are also pursuing margin accretive opportunities in specialized services and integrated contracts, which should support a steady recovery in our profitability in the coming quarters. Looking ahead, we are targeting 10-12% revenue growth in the IFM segment. This is also supported by several industry tailwinds, including increasing GCC investments, manufacturing growth under Make in India, surge in e-com logistics and warehouse needs, and accelerated outsourcing of non-core activities. I'd like to share an update on Global, Avon, and other BSS subsidiaries. During the quarter, Global flight handling saw a temporary slowdown. This is due to multiple flight cancellations and reduction in flights due to bad monsoon, which also led to short-term suspension of flights at a few stations, such as Vizag, Ayodhya, Bhavnagar, Khajuraho. Operations normalized by September. While Q2 performance was slightly below expectations, we achieved several important milestones, including obtaining ACI license for Vikas and for Mocha, conducting multiple AVACC training programs and 100% pass rate, and securing IATA-authorized training at our organized training center accreditation. We also initiated security audits for leading airlines and expect further training approval soon. Looking ahead, we anticipate stronger performance in the second half of the year, supported by resumption of flight operations, growing training demand, and new client wins. Now, I would like to share an update on Avon. An amount of $280 million, which has come under review primarily due to lapses in thorough due diligence for a few customers. While this has resulted in certain receivables coming under stress, the company has already initiated an independent investigation and taken conservative provisions of $30 million. We are actively working with our legal team to recover the maximum amount possible. Further internal controls and vendor verification processes have been significantly strengthened to prevent any such recurrence. Now I would like to hand the call over to Sneha Shesh, our CEO of PSS segment, to give a brief on the update of Deniv, Athena and Matrix.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. I would like to brief you on each business segment individually, starting with Deniv. During the second quarter, Deniv worked through a tough operating environment. The second quarter performance was largely driven by continued strength in our field operation services across both managed and non-managed segments. We witnessed some sluggishness from one of our large customers in the demand generation segment, along with some temporary softness in inside sales and digital marketing, due to both client delivery schedules as well as some forest factors. Despite these challenges, the team effectively mitigated part of the impact through focused cost optimization measures and margin discipline. We also made encouraging progress on our AI-led initiatives, including the IntelliBank platform and demand gen through agentic AI pilots, which are gaining traction across some of our global technology clients. With a sharper focus on operational efficiencies and high-quality pipeline conversion in the second half, Deniv remains well-positioned to deliver a resilient performance despite the prevailing cautious environment in the global tech sector. Moving on to Athena. Athena continued to navigate the evolving technology landscape with resilience. While the increasing adoption of AI has impacted certain client segments, the business has maintained stable margins. More importantly, Athena is broadening its client base beyond BFSI into new sectors such as education, retail, and real estate to diversify its revenue streams. We are also leveraging technology as a key enabler for us. We have successfully completed a proof of concept for a dynamic outbound AI voice bot with one of our clients. The initiative marks an important step in our digital transformation journey, and we intend to progressively deploy such AI voice solutions across our client base to enhance efficiency and service delivery, helping us remain cost competitive in this ever-evolving market. Now, moving on to the EBGC and ARA business of Matrix. First, I would like to give an update on our growing audit and assurance business. ARA delivered a steady performance during the quarter. They have also forayed into fixed asset verification, a high-margin area that allows us to move up the value chain. During the quarter, we also onboarded 13 new vendors to strengthen our last-mile auditing capabilities, taking the total to 60. This will help us reduce transit costs going forward. ARA segment continues to expand its client base, having added 4 census-listed companies, which include Airtel, HUL, Reliance, and Eternal during the quarter. While there is some near-term impact on margins due to ongoing investments in technology and talent, we expect margins to improve as these initiatives begin to contribute meaningfully. Additionally, the upcoming GST reform is likely to drive increased audit activity from Q3 FY26 onwards, which should support future growth momentum. Moving to the EBGC business, the environment remains challenging due to significant spending cuts by IT companies amid uncertain demand outlook. Large-scale layoff across major Indian and global IT firms have further impacted hiring activity. Additionally, a few large MNC clients have temporarily frozen hiring due to some internal IT infrastructure constraints. We are also seeing a broader slowdown in recruitment across other formal sectors. While the external environment remains beyond our control, we are focused on strengthening our technology platforms to enhance data security and deliver faster, more reliable employee background checks. We continue to lead the EVDC industry in turnaround times, reinforcing our position as a trusted partner for our clients. Now, looking ahead for the BSS segment, while we recognize that certain challenges may persist in the near term, we remain confident in our ability to navigate them effectively and expect a soft landing as the situation begins to normalize. Our focus continues to be on building resilience and adaptability across our BSS portfolio. We are making proactive investments in technology and digital capabilities, which, while impacting margin in the short term, are strategic in nature and expected to deliver meaningful benefits over the long horizon. These initiatives will not only strengthen our competitive positioning but also enhance efficiency and client experience across our services. Now, I would like to hand the call back to Raghu to summarize the Q2 and H1 FY26 performance and expectations going forward. Raghu, over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Sneha. Okay, to summarize, we remain confident in improving our second half of this year. As collection cycles normalize and one-off impacts seen in H1 will taper off, several efficiency measures and client-level initiatives are implemented over the last two quarters and are starting to show results. We expect a stronger and more stable performance going forward. The issue at Avon is being managed carefully, and we are working with our legal team to recover most of the amount under review. For the full year, we are targeting a consolidated revenue growth of around 9-10%, and overall facilities management and business services industry continue to see strong structural growth driven by increasing outsourcing and formalization. With our scale and diversified client base and continued focus on technology and execution excellence, we believe UDS is well positioned to capitalize on these opportunities and deliver steady, profitable growth in the years ahead. Can we go ahead after this?
Yeah, I think, the core messages really being it's been a tough quarter, and especially for the BSS segment. Sneha has already spoken about plans to recover. Raghu has also touched upon Avon, which has impacted results for this quarter. The good story, the silver lining, is that in the IFM segment, revenues are growing. And the broad idea of around 2x of economy broadly for the IFM segment is holding. So for the full year, we will have 12-13% growth in the IFM segment, which is twice the economic growth rate. The BSS will get back on track. I think those are the key messages that that we would like to leave our investors with, and we can open up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted your thoughts on what has actually driven the lower margins for the BSS business, because you did mention that Athena margins have remained stable. So what within the portfolio is driving the lower margin here, and how should we think about margins in this segment going forward?
So Raghu, may I?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for the question. So you're right, Athena margins have held largely what they were. There's a minor dip, but not material. The core area where margins have dropped, are basically in, so because Dinev is the largest part of the BFS area, and in Dinev, as Sneha Sheesh, my colleague, mentioned, one large global customer, you know, we were doing a lot of work for them. We continue to do a lot of work for them. Their spending on marketing and on lead generation and qualification has dropped, and they have tightened their expenditure across the world. Our exposure to that very large customer is very beneficial for the company, but has also resulted in the margin squeeze that we have seen at Dinev. The lower value-add businesses of Dinev continue to see good growth. The newer technology businesses are also shaping up well. It's this middle part, which was a very large contributor to our margins, that is what is under some stress in the first half. We expect it to steady and to recover in the second half to an extent. Full margins of last year will not come back this year. But so that is one core reason. So Dinev's slowdown in that middle segment, especially with this one very large customer. The other areas are Avon, we have already talked about. So that has also hit margins to an extent. And the third reason is really the EBGC business that Sneha Sheesh talked about. We have been giving this consistent commentary on EBGC now for the last three quarters, where the IT hiring slowdown has come as a very, very, it's impacted our numbers very strongly, the EBGC numbers. And that slowdown we had expected, as we had spoken about in our last call and the previous call, that slowdown was expected to ease up. But as we all know, as is being seen in the IT results being declared by all the major companies, that slowdown is not bottoming out. And that continues to be an issue. So what we are doing about it is that we are expanding the non-IT exposure and trying to expand to new customer bases and new segments in EBGC. Avon, we have talked about, stronger controls will see that business get back on track. And as far as Dinev is concerned, we are not only in conversation with this large customer, but there as well. The attempt is to accelerate the technology side, and the attempt is to also accelerate and recover in the mid segment. The good story in the BSS segment is the global flight handling business, in the sense that the revenues have grown. Margins are still under pressure because we are still in the recovery phase of Capital because of the gestation period that you have when you start new airports. But if you look at the first quarter, revenue has grown in global. So I think that's really the story that we have. Dinev revenues have grown. So in the first half, almost 10% revenue growth is there, but the margin is under pressure. So Dinev middle business, Avon we have talked about, and EBGC business. These are the three large contributors to the margin squeeze that you're seeing in the BSS business.
Got it. So so two things here. So one is, how are you thinking about growth in for BSS in the second half? You did mention that Dinev has grown 10%, but the overall so what's actually created the drag on revenue if Dinev has grown 10%? So what's brought it down to 1% year on year growth? What's been the drag? So two parts to this. So one is Dinev, and second is how should we think of growth for this business in the second half and going forward? Yeah.
Yeah. So what's created the drag to an extent is really the Athena numbers. So Athena has declined and Avon has declined. So those are the two pieces which have created the drag.
Yeah, and how should we think about it in the second half?
So in the second half, we are expecting that,
or at least overall growth for the year. or the annual growth for the year, what is your assumption right now? Where do you
So
think
the
it
overall
lands?
growth for the year as far as BSS is concerned, from the 1.5% or thereabouts right now, we will be looking at roughly about 3-3.5% for BSS. And it won't grow beyond that. And we will be looking at a strong growth on IFM of roughly about 15%. So overall, Raghu has already mentioned in his speech, we'll be looking at a growth number of between 9% and 10% for the year.
Got it. Got it. Perfect. I'll come in for follow-ups. Yeah. Thank you so much and all the
Thank
best.
you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Deep Shah from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one question is, so we appreciate the qualitative comments made on the different segments within the BSS space, but if you could provide numbers, I think that would be much easier for us to track, understand, and even get into some more granular details. So I think that has been a request for some time. So that's one, if you could provide numbers. Second, we understand that you signed on some clients in IFM and which require upfront investments. I think even last half year, we had this sign-ups, and probably even this time we have these. As a result, our cash conversion remains slightly poor. So by when do you think this will normalize, the cycle will kick in of normalization, and our cash flows will track EBITDA better? And third question, if I may squeeze in, is what was the rationale for impairing or rather provisioning for 3 crores for Avon? The balance, we are fairly certain that we recover, and if yes, by what time? Or will we see sustained provisioning over the quarters as we realize more certainty or uncertainty of that issue? That's it from my side. Thank you.
So we will be, we are happy to provide more detail. We can give you, a flavor right now in the sense that, so we mentioned that Athena has declined almost 20% in the first half. So that's been a drag on the growth. Global has grown by about 30% revenue. So, but it's a smaller contribution. Avon has dropped by about 14% revenue. So that's really the mix that you are seeing. Matrix has dropped by a marginal 2-2.5% in terms of revenue. So that's the flavor and from the next time onwards, we will actually make it a part of our presentation itself. We'll give you more visibility and transparency so that you can track the various segments separately. As far as Avon is concerned, we have looked at the receivables position. We have looked at the contracts that were signed, and right now an investigation is underway, as Raghu had already mentioned, and as we have also mentioned in the statement that we have released. So at this point in time, we are working to recover the amounts. You may see some more provisioning. We are not sure at this point in time what the extent of that will be, but we do not want to guide you to say that we are 100% sure that we will recover the entire amount. There may be some more provisioning that you will see. There is also a payable of 5 crores which you are seeing. So that, depending on the investigation, may well result in a decision that is not payable, and therefore gets netted off to some extent from the receivables value. That entire set of contracts right now is under intense scrutiny and investigation. And we are in touch with our legal team, as mentioned in the opening remarks. And depending on what the view is and what the conversation with those customers leads to, we'll be able to give you clarity later in this quarter in Q3. So we expect this to crystallize over the next few weeks.
Sure, sir. So this is useful. On the cash flow part, sir, when should we see cash flows tracking EBITDA?
Yeah. So what you're seeing is that as we have expanded the business, because the IFM part of the business has grown. So we right now have an additional commitment to working capital of roughly about between 50 and 60 crores. So that is something that we are right now cleaning up a lot of the AR pieces. So you will start seeing that show from this Q3 onwards. The other piece is that you are seeing a dip in the cash because also of the fact that we have paid off some of our loans. So you will see that almost, Surinder, correct me if I'm wrong, but 30-40 crores worth of loans have been paid off. So.
It's 44 crores.
44 crores. So 44 crores of debt has been taken off the balance sheet as a prudent measure and use of that cash. So that's the other piece that's contributing to the cash flow that you are seeing, the reduction in the cash flow. So as I said, the AR piece, you will start seeing results in Q3. By the end of Q4, we would have cleaned up substantially.
Sure, sure, sir. All the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. A reminder for participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vaikarya Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to confirm. So what is the upfront cost for the strategic contracts which you have started this quarter?
You're talking about the annual contract values of these 25 customers that we have added? Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm saying what are the upfront employee costs which you have booked in this quarter related to these contracts?
So I don't have an exact number, Rahul, but see, the way these contracts get activated are basically in two parts, right? So one is that there is some amount of upfront people that you need to hire. And the second is that the full billing may or may not have happened during the same quarter. So because you start hiring people, right, and then the contract reaches its full maturity in about 2-3 months' time, especially the larger contracts. So that is where the issue is. And there is also one very large customer in Delhi in the IFM space where manpower has been deployed. We are beginning to see revenues and collections coming in now. And we will have further clarity on that during this quarter. But that contract has also seen deployment of people ahead of the start of billing. So that's the mismatch that you're seeing, and that is what Raghu alluded to. The other reason that you're seeing the other piece that you're seeing here is also a change in the mix. So that is what has also led to some extent on the contract and the contraction in the margins and the increase in our people cost. Because what you're seeing there is growth, as I mentioned, even in Dinev, on the slightly more people-heavy businesses, you are seeing growth. And in UDS, of course, in IFM, they are all people-heavy, but you are seeing a deployment a little bit in advance. The third reason why you're seeing a little bit of that contraction also, I mean, I'm just expanding on the answer so that for the benefit of all. The third reason also is that we have entered into a few strategic contracts at slightly lower margins. But it's important because those customers are giant customers. And once you enter into those customers, the idea is that the business then expands and margins stabilize. But to gain entry, as you can even think of it almost like marketing cost, we have taken some contracts at lower margins than we would have done otherwise. So those are the three pieces that have contributed to this.
Okay. Okay. No, I was referring to what you have mentioned in the presentation about the strategic contract wins. Those relate to the IFM business, correct?
Largely, yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, I mean, ballpark figure for whatever the extra stock cost you would have incurred for these wins. I just wanted that figure.
Rahul, I don't have that number readily available. I will send it. We will send it to you.
Sure.
Surinder will be in touch. But good question. I don't have that number with me right now.
Sure, sure. And for BSS segment, you reported the 15 crore EBITDA, right? And if we adjust for these incremental provision related to Avon, so 18 crore is the normalized EBITDA for this quarter, or are there any more one-offs in this segment?
So Surinder, you want to take that? But yeah, that 3 crores is certainly sitting there. And see, when you say normalize, you have to, I mean, the normalization also will happen as far as the other business headwinds that we have talked about, whether we have talked about Matrix or whether we have talked about Dinev. So if you normalize for all of that, then, I mean, you know, last year, same H1, we had reported 22.823 crores of PAT for BSS, right? And so there is absolutely no reason why we would not come back to that and start growing again. Once, you know, once these two headwinds that we talked about, IT hiring in India, and this one large global customer, which is IT headwinds, because that customer is also in the IT space, IT headwinds globally. Once those two headwinds settle down, Matrix and Denev performance, right, will pick up, and we know that it will, that will happen. And Athena is basically a customer diversification story, where we have to diversify our customer base, and the team has started doing a good job of that, and that's why margins are stable, as you will see. And what we need to do there is to basically now pick up growth within the fintech space, I mean, within the banks and the financial space, financial services space, and outside. So that's really what will help us get back on track. So, but if you add that 3 crores back, then yes, then the dip would be about 15%. That would be attributed to the headwind, the global headwinds in Denev and the India IT hiring headwinds in Matrix. You are right.
Okay. Sorry, again, are there any additional one-off or, you know, kind of provision or et cetera, those kind of figures which have dampened the margin in Q2 or Q1? Which are, you know, not related to, let's say, business, but more of a one-off kind of a cost.
Surinder, you want to talk about that? Because this A1 number is definitely there, but apart from that, Surinder, any other one-offs that we have taken?
No, not in, you know, BSS division. BSS segment, there is no one-offs, which will be, we can call out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And second question would be on the IFM business. I think in one act, if you see the overall margins are, you know, 5%. Taking into account the strategic wins which you have done this quarter, what is the kind of margins do we expect in, let's say, over next three to four quarters?
See, last year, H1, PAT, right? If you look at it, we had roughly about 4% PAT in FY 2025 H1. And if you look at the full year picture, we had a 4.3% PAT in the last year. Right. So, right now we are tracking lower than that. This year will be lower, but because we have these issues to run through. But we expect this to start tracking our earlier planned number of between 5%-6%. So, that's the clear idea.
No, I get that. I was asking more with respect to the IFM business margins, which is 5% EBITDA margin. I was asking what is the margin which you expect in the 2x, taking into account the, you know, the new wins, et cetera?
Yeah. So the full year margins will probably track where we are. Slight improvement will be there in H2 over where we are in H1. So in H2, we are looking at close to 4% PAT percentage. This year, right now in H1, we have given you a 3.4%, 3.5%. So, from there, we do expect almost a 15%-20% improvement in H2. Going forward, the emphasis is to grow the higher margin businesses within IFM. So, and right now we are tracking well on that. So we have a small business called WSC, where we are seeing margins of 25%+, very stable and growing as well. So, you know, even though it's a very small business for us, but it contributes meaningfully to the overall number in terms of profitability. So the idea is to focus on that. The idea is to also now look at how we can grow existing customers who are slightly higher margin. So let me explain that. We have communicated in the past that almost 80% of our new revenue in IFM comes from existing customers. And, the newer wins are at lower margins, but the existing customers are at better margins. So the idea is to grow them, right? So for the full year, you will expect a PAT number of around 4% on IFM.
Okay. I think you mentioned about PAT margins. Actually, I was asking more on the EBITDA margin, which is 5% for the IFM business. in the 1x?
It's the same. Okay. It's the same translation will work, so it will go to about 6.
Okay. 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 Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Yajash Mehta from Ionic. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to confirm when we said that we are looking to track about 9 to 10% of growth for the financial year and IFM growth being higher and BSS we are looking at 3 to 4%. So when we come to the 3 to 4% number, are we saying overall for the year BSS vis-a-vis last year would be 3 to 4% or just H2? Secondly, would also want to understand that obviously we are sitting on a lot of cash and given the fact that we've been very vocal about the fact that BSS is one segment which we will grow by acquiring, good players, right, and not loss-making companies and, the leaders of the various spaces. So wanted to understand, is acquisition something that we are contemplating, in the medium term, or this is something that we will kind of give it a skip, say, for the next couple of quarters?
So, as far as cash is concerned, we are going to use it prudently, and like you're seeing in terms of paying back whatever debt we had, we have used cash for that. The additional cash deployment in working capital is something that again, I mentioned that we are going to look at very, very seriously, in terms of how, less capital gets deployed in terms of customer receivables. Because that's really the big part of capital deployment and an operating business like ours. The balance cash, when we had raised money from the markets in 23, we had talked about an acquisition and we continue to scout the market. We are in fairly advanced conversation with one particular target. And if that goes through, then you might hear something in the latter half of this quarter or maybe in Q4. So, depending on how the deal progresses. So, and that is in a value-added services space, and that is going to be a margin accretive to the overall group, and also that's a fairly substantial revenue number. If those conversations move forward, this is not a forward-looking statement in the sense that we are not guaranteeing that the deal will get done. Other piece is that, we have also been looking at the strategic organization of how we are organized within the company. And we do realize that, clubbing these kinds of businesses, such as Ground Handling and Avon, along with Dinev and Athena and Matrix, is actually causing some confusion in the minds of our investors. And therefore, we are looking at how to classify these differently, so that there is better quality information available to all of you. You will see some action around that in the latter half of this quarter. So that we are clearer. Something along the lines of platform-oriented reporting so that you understand, what headwinds impact which particular business and not the others. Because right now BSS is a combination of 5 different businesses.
And as I had also asked, so when we say 3 to 4% growth in BSS, are we just talking about H2 of this financial year versus the H2 of last financial year? Or we are saying, at the end of this financial year, when we look back, we'd be able to say that for the financial year, BSS has grown by 3 to 4%.
So, yeah, closer to 5 maybe, but yeah, so H2 will be around 4-5, but given the weak H1, the overall number will be around 4% for this year. But as I said, we'll start giving you more clarity and more visibility into individual platforms. For example, Sales Enablement is a platform which includes Dinev and Athena, right? And there are others in there. So we'll start giving that transparency so that you can, so that then you understand exactly what's growing and what's not. Next year, however, we are right now in the planning process. We do believe that a big chunk of this growth will come back and BSS will again become a driver for us. But it does have headwinds because it is impacted by technology to a greater extent than IFM is. Because the IFM side of the business is less prone to technological disruption. the BSS side, especially in sales enablement, is more prone to that. And the EBGC business, which is the employee background verification business. These are two businesses that are prone to technology disruption. We have not been disrupted as yet in very large parts of Vinay's business, but this one particular customer has been evaluating their spends, as I had mentioned earlier. So yeah, that's the growth forecast, I mean, right now, and the visibility that we have.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. I repeat, participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa & Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Am I audible?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question was, any of the questions have already been asked. Like, yeah, the question which I have today, what is the current churn rate, like typical contract tenure?
Raghu, you want to take that in terms of typical contract tenure?
The tenure, you were asking on the IFM side or on the BSS side?
Both sides.
Both. Okay, as an average, because they are different contracts in the different businesses, would be about between 2 to 3 years.
Amit,
the tenure of these contracts is in size.
Yeah. At the same time, Amit, I would just like to qualify that a little bit by saying that you know, as we have spoken about in our previous calls as well, we have had some very, very long-standing relationships also. So, you know, we obviously in such calls, we don't really take too many names of customers and logos because that's inappropriate. But, you know, we have had relationships with some very large customers, which are now over 2 decades old. And we continue to supply services to them. So, but most customers would reevaluate contracts every 2-3 years, as Raghu mentioned. And depend, you know, and because of the quality of services and our familiarity with their businesses is so high, in many of these cases, you know, we re-win these contracts. Also, the other fact here is the new business win rate from existing customers, which, as we have spoken in the past, is 70-80%. So that again reinforces the longevity of these customers and these customer contracts. Even though on paper these contracts will have a tenure, so the longest tenure contract that we have, I think, is 7 years. But many of these contracts will have on paper tenure of just 1 year. Some will have 2, some will have 3, you know, and so it varies.
Understood. So the second question was connected to the attrition level. What is the company's total employee headcount and what is the attrition level versus the industry benchmark?
So, you know, we have talked about our current headcount of roughly about 75,000. 74,500 is the number that we have given you in the investor deck. Number is growing, and that is what you will also see to some extent reflected, you know, elsewhere. The churn rate remain high, and these churn rates are really what the industry broadly is. See, it is such a varied industry that, you know, finding out the exact churn rates is very, very hard. But our churn rates, Raghu, would be in the region of about 4% to 5% per month.
Yeah,
4% per month.
About 50% in the IFM segment. And
yeah.
BSS is about 15% because BSS is more white-collared.
Yeah.
So the attrition is that. About 50% in the IFM segment. And if you, I don't know exactly with authority, I can't tell you the industry churn. My guess is that about 75% to 100% is the industry churn in the IFM segment.
So, we'll be in line or slightly better than the industry, Amit, but, you know, exact numbers in this space are slightly hard. About 4% per month, which is the 50% that Raghu talked about in IFM, and in BSS lower because, you know, they are more white collar.
So, in the presentation, like for Matrix and for the employees, 1500%, the employees is not mentioned in the presentation.
Sorry, your voice cracked very badly, Amit. I didn't understand that question.
I'm saying, sir, the number of employees is already mentioned in the presentation. For Matrix, it is 1,000 plus. For Athena, it is 3,000 plus. But for Denev, the number of employees is missing.
Sneha?
Yeah.
See, Dinesh, our overall on-rolls total count of employees would be between 7,000 to 7,500 at this point of time, out of which a significant chunk is from the FMS business, which would be about 5,500 to 6,000. So about 1,500 to 1,800 would be approximately the non-FMS business, which is the demand gen and the marketing activation businesses that we have.
So, Amit, seven and a half thousand is the number. Yeah.
Okay. So, sir, actually, I have a lot of questions, but I have sent you the email, so I would like to get back later offline.
Sure. Do that, please.
Thank you.
We will revert to you.
Thank you for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Anant Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question was on the warehouse management and niche logistics business. Just want to understand, has this business also seen a very heavy contraction year on year? Like it was doing about 25, 26 crores a quarter, which I think from whatever has been disclosed, about 10, 11 crores. And would that be attributable to the fact that we're reviewing the processes in Avon? So that was my question, yeah.
So that is absolutely correct because, you know, there is a niche logistics and a mailroom part to that business, which continues to be very solid and continues to do well. The other area in terms of transportation is really where, which is a new, new line of business. It was there, it was always there, but, it was not focused upon. So that is where, we are re-evaluating, because that's a very different kind of business, and that's what we are re-evaluating. So you're absolutely right.
Got it. So that was, contributing about 15 crores a quarter to the top line?
So if not 15, slightly less, but yeah, you're right.
It should be around 15 crores per quarter.
So last year Avon revenue, if you really look at it, was 102 crores, right? So that's the 7-8 crores, 8 crores per month kind of revenue number last year, and this year is slightly lower. Yes.
Okay. Got it. So that's it from mine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Avnish Tiwari from Vaikarya. Please go ahead.
Hi. Did I hear correctly that your PAT margin in H1 is 3.4 and the full year you were talking about a number? So maybe can you talk about like overall basis, what kind of profit either in terms of rupees crore, a range you are expecting or a margin level, what are you expecting on a profit, overall profit of a company?
So overall. So for the overall, as we had mentioned, right, it'll be between around 4 to 5%. Up from the 3.4 that we have shown right now for H1.
So this 4 to 5% would be for second half of 26 or for the full year 26?
For the full year, it will be around 4%. Yes. In that ballpark, but this is excluding exceptional items if there are any.
Okay. And so H1, which exceptional item we should exclude from this assessment of 4% for the full year?
So the three crores that we have already talked about for Avon.
Right. That's it. That's the only item we should keep out aside, right?
Surinder, that's what we are talking about, right? There are no other exceptionals.
Yeah, in BSS segment, there's no other material exceptional item.
And in IFM as well, right? So that's the answer. We will, again, if there is anything worth reporting, just send us an email. We'll also send you some detail.
Okay, just to confirm that in IFM also, there's no exceptional or more than normal run rate kind of item, which we should adjust to target about 4% over the full year in terms of PAT margin.
That would be right?
Yes, I don't think that. And then there would not be anything exceptional.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Right.
Great.
So,
yeah, Raghu.
Thank you everyone for joining us. I hope we could answer your query. We look forward to such interaction in the future. In case we have any further details you would require, you may contact Warren Shivram of SGA, our investor relationship advisors.
I'll just also like to add one small statement here, which is that you know, we acknowledge the fact that we have had a tough quarter, but we would like to assure all our investing community and friends that you know, we remain a well-governed company, strong with you know, a strong focus on doing the right thing, and whatever lessons we are learning from in terms of this episode at Avon, we are going to take the right lessons from it and quickly recover and ensure that everybody in the company understands this, so that we don't have a recurrence. And our portfolio of businesses remains very strong, and we believe that the original investment thesis that all of you would have had is very well justified. So thank you very much for your support.
Thank you all of you. On behalf of Updata Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.